Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. One of the best parts about owning a new Toyota from Rudy Luther is the service that comes with the vehicle. With my service package, I don't pay for anything. Oil changes, routine maintenance, and front-to-back coverage. It's an amazing stress reliever to have the cost of maintaining your vehicle included with your new vehicle. And Rudy Luther's top-notch staff takes care of everything, making my life even better. Find out more at RudyLutherToyota.com or just head over to Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good to be with you, Matt Patrick, as we are in the final stretch of Election 2020. This weekend and heading into, of course, Tuesday, It's going to be interesting. I will say, even before the coronavirus hit, I was always going to say it's going to be hard for Trump to be able to campaign against his legacy because, you know, his legacy is bad. I mean, his legacy is bad. But you have to be amazed at how badly he ran his campaign. And he has run his campaign. Now, don't get me wrong. I've said this before. I'll stand by it. Near 63 million people voted for him in 2016. I'll be dinged if near 63 million people don't vote for him again in 2020. These people, they're either wealthy people, and we understand wealthy people love him because he shovels in taxpayer dollars into their mouths. Racists love him because they basically don't have to hide their racism anymore around him. But it's the other people, the other group of people, that the most important thing for them is basically owning the libs, improving all those people that were always right were actually the wrong ones, that I was always the right one. That Trump's insulting of science and compassion and caring for others, that's what they love. They love that. And that is who they are. That is where they're at. They're all going to show up. They're all going to vote. They are 100%. But Trump was always going to have a heck of a time winning with just them because, once again, when you become the incumbent, all of a sudden you have a record to run on. And there's a lot of people that weren't very happy with him. And it should be noted, this was, you know, Russian fix or not, this was in a real quirk of the system. You have someone who had 3 million more votes than he did, but he was able to just squeak by in the Electoral College. Well, I'm going to guarantee you, without Hillary Clinton on the ballot and with 3 or 4 years of legacy already built up, it wasn't going to be that close. So he had to go on out and he had to win people over in areas that, you know, the independents, maybe some moderate Democrats, and he's completely and totally ignored those groups. I mean, it's really been very interesting. I mean, if you want to see how you don't run a campaign, and this is why I've always been afraid that was there the plan in place for the Russians to try to assassinate Biden or something like that, because I couldn't figure out how Trump was running a campaign so badly. Like, he didn't think he could lose. I mean, that fear always is gripped me, and this is what's been keeping me up at night, is the fear that someone is going to try to assassinate him, because, you know, I think at this point it's about the only way really that that Trump would win. And so this is why I'm getting 3 hours of sleep a night. This is why I'm you know, stressed out like you wouldn't believe. You know, God willing, nothing bad happens. But trust me, when I say this, the Russians, the Saudis, I can at least name 4 other countries. Turkey, off the top of my head, would basically love to have another Philippines, would love. North Korea would love to have another 4 years of Donald Trump as opposed to a grown-up leader. So things are, you know, he's not talked to the swing voters he needs. He's completely ignored them. He's made no attempts to speak to them. His campaign managers have been spectacularly bad, including earlier this year, a story which was just buried because it was, you know, in the modern day Trump news cycle, that, you know, that Brad Pascal, his former press secretary or campaign manager, was literally arrested You know, they had $1 billion gone. No one really knows where a lot of that money went. It went to, you know, vacation homes and Maseratis and big spender parties. That's what it went to, wining and dining, but not for voters, but for, you know, the people that were running the campaign. His ad choices, where he's been running ads, that's another thing which has just been really bizarre. As the tech people have said, you want to run ads, you know, Facebook, Twitter, you want to run on the main social media sites. You don't really want to run on YouTube because YouTube, they don't allow you to download voting lists. You can't target as well with YouTube. It's not, you know, as far as advertising goes, YouTube is not great. But Trump and his campaign, the people around him, all they wanted to do is, but run on YouTube. Patrick, I might have a special guest here. One second here. I'm tapped in. Can you help me tap? What are you going dressed as Halloween tomorrow?
I am going as myself. I'm actually going to be out of town. I'm going into the belly of the beast down to Rochester for an event this weekend.
Oh, it's not. Is it a political event or what is it?
No, it's for my other work. I'm going to be doing some hockey games down there. So, yeah, I was supposed to leave tomorrow morning, but then we had a change of plan, so we'll be headed down there tonight. It'll be long after the circus has left town, but I wouldn't be surprised if there are still some clowns hanging out after I get down there.
Well, they're going to be drive carefully. It's always a tough day on Halloween. We'll get to that here in a little bit. We might have a guest here coming up here in just a few minutes. I'll give you an update. We'll take a break here before too long and give you an update on that. Because trying to find politicians, especially ones who are not running for office, because I don't want to have to offer equal time these last few days, it's not easy. So we might have a guest. So you're seeing the inner guts of the radio show being exposed to you. So he's not talked to the people he's not needed to. He's had bad management. They can't find any of the money. They're marketing in the worst way. They're having to cancel things. But it's just this. This is a mailer I got. I got to show it up here on the live stream here. Just in difficult times, America gets back to work. Okay. You're the incumbent. It's one of the – boy, I suck. Why not another 4 years? Trump's messaging is obnoxiously bad. Speaking of, I should mention Democrat of the Day. I have been just tickled pink. We've actually had, with coronavirus and with all the problems that happened around George Floyd, I was trying to get well over 100 people on the air for Democrat of the Day. We never got that far because of just, like I said, we ended up having large swaths of the year we had to dedicate to other things. But we did interview all the following people: Ken Martin, Lindsey Port, Senate District 56, Jamie Becker Finn, 42B, Susan Kent, Senate, she's the Senate Minority Leader, Senate District 53, Heather Edelson, 49A, Zach Stevenson, 36A, Sidney Jordan, 60A, Chad Hobart, 30A, Mary Kanish Podin, 41B, and now she's running for Senate District 41. Michael Northberg, 2A, John Purcell, 5A, Cheryl Joachim, 46B, Justin Stofferin, Senate District 38, Addie Miller, Senate District 47, Ken Martin again, Sarah Flick is Senate District 25, Aaron Priest is 58A, Dan Kessler was 47B, Sandra Mason was 51A, Reed Perkins was Senate District 1, John Hoffman, 36D, Senate District 36, Logan Kortegaard, 17B, John Peters, Senate District 9, Sandra Feist, let's get feisty, 41B, Liz Bolden, 25B. You had Kayla Berg, 52B, Gretchen Piper, Senate District 33, Rita Albrecht, Senate District 5, Secretary of State Steve Simon, Bonnie Westland, Senate District 34, Alan Roy, Senate District 2, Doria Drost, 16A. I love her campaign. She's really doing a great job. Sarah Adwin, Senate District 55, Ruth Richardson, 52B. Emma Green Breyer, 63B, Brad Brown, 31A, Susan Kent again, Senate District 53. That was after the when they decided to start executing commissioners. Heather Keeler, this is House District 4A, Marge Hoffa, Vice Chair of the DFL, Steve Simon, Secretary of State again, Sarah Wolf, 58B, Elise Drieslin, 21B, John Marty, Senate District 66, Kate Luthner, which was Senate District 31, Quinn Nystrom, Minnesota 8, and Johnson Stewart, Senate District 44, Josiah Hill, Senate District 39, Eric Putnam is Senate District 14, Brian Raines is 34A, Mike Howard was 50A, Shauna Marshall, Senate District 22, John Olson, Senate District 20, Secretary of State Steve Simon again, Brad Kovach, 30B, Martin O'Malley, the former governor of Maryland, Carly Coitza-Witoon, 48B, Caitlin Cahill, 33A, Chris Latondres was Hennepin County District 6, Commissioner Aaron Murphy, Senate District 64, Liz Olson, 7B, Justin Paul Thiessen, and we also had Lindsay Port, 56, Jess Hansen, House District 56A, Connie Lindstrom, House District 1A, Steve Sandell, 53B, Speaker Melissa Hortman, House District 36B, and she's the Speaker of the Minnesota House. We interviewed all those people. Those were the Democrats of the day. You can find those interviews on the SoundCloud page. And I encourage you, if you still have not made up your mind about voting, go listen to the interviews. Go listen to the interviews. We have them there for you to listen to, by all means. Please do. And make an informed choice, because, my gosh, we got a lot that's on the table here. Coming up here, I want to make sure I mention with the ruling by the courts, here are the ways where you can still vote. Let me shuffle through my briefs here. There it is. So you can go drop off your ballot at your county election office or as a other designated drop-off site. Do not mail your absentee ballot at this point. It will not get there in time. And once again, if you miss that the court ruling, basically any ballot received after 8 p.m. on, this would be on Tuesday, is to be separated. Doesn't mean they're not going to be counted yet, but that's clearly what the game plan of the Republicans is to basically make the argument that any ballot that arrives after that point, active duty military, greatest generation, they should all be chucked into the dumpster and burnt. Those ballots should not count. So do not mail your ballot at this point. You can drop it off at a ballot at a county election office, other designated drop-off site. Go to your county election office or vote early center and cast a new ballot in person or vote in person on election day. Similar to the early vote option, officials will check to make sure your mail-in ballot was not submitted and accepted, invalidate it, and give you a fresh ballot to cast. There you go. And a lot of they actually, Steve Simon, and I'll get you the information for you this after the break. Steve Simon, they've opened up drop-offs on Sunday. So there'll be places you can drop off your ballot on Sunday as well. We'll get to eventually here the full numbers of early ballots that have been cast, as well as also how many outstanding absentee ballots there are still in Minnesota. But this is important, people. This is important. We have had already 85 million votes cast nationally, 85,700,000. I should actually add the 700,000 in there. In Minnesota, we've had a total of 1,581,193 ballots cast. That is over half as many people who voted in 2016. And I think we led the nation with 75% turnout. That is massive, but it will not be enough if Republicans show up in person to vote on Election Day and Democrats act like they've already won. We haven't won squat yet. We have a lot of work to do. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Hopefully when we come back, Ken Martin from the DFL will be joining us. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. The Democrat of the day is the chairman of the Minnesota DFL. Ken Martin is kind enough to join us today to talk about Election Day coming up here on Tuesday. Ken, once again, I really appreciate the time.
Absolutely. It's been a while since we last talked, Matt. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I could go for a big DFL hug come Tuesday. Let's just put it that way.
I think everyone is just ready for this election to be over. It's I don't know if it's just all the anxiety about the election, but you know, to top it off, a pandemic and economic collapse and all the other things we've been dealing with. It's just this has been a long year, and I think everyone's ready for this to be over so we can focus on all these other pieces.
And I do want to say thank you. You and I have talked a lot. We talked coronavirus, George Floyd. We've talked election. We've talked a lot this year. I appreciate every time you've joined us. I do want to actually talk, though, begin with something that doesn't necessarily have to do with the election coming up on Tuesday, but it was breaking stories this week, the revelation that there are a ton of third-party pro-marijuana candidates who aren't really pro-marijuana candidates, but rather Republicans in disguise, recruited by Republicans. And even there's an implication that Paul Gazelka, the Senate majority himself, might have been involved in trying to recruit candidates to run as fake third-party candidates. This is really low. I mean, it's just as beneath. I can't even describe how it's predictable for these Republicans, but at the same time, it's just so disappointing.
Yeah, well, look, we've known about this for some time, and of course, there's been plenty of public stories about this over many months now. This is not breaking news per se. I think the biggest piece that broke this week, of course, is the news that the Republican Party paid Adam Weeks to run for Congress in the 2nd Congressional District. And not only is that completely unethical and certainly a departure for these parties, but I will tell you that it's criminal. You cannot pay someone to run for office. That's illegal. And I would expect in the coming days, if not sooner, that you'll see a criminal investigation begin, as well as a whole host of campaign finance complaints that will be filed. What we've seen by both Senator Paul Gazelka, Republicans in this state, including Jennifer Carnahan and others, is that they know they can't win these elections fair and square on their ideas or on their merits, on their policy positions. So they have to try to find a way to essentially deceive voters and siphon off votes from DFL candidates up and down the ballot. And, you know, it doesn't stop just here in Minnesota. We see the Republicans doing the same thing on the presidential level with recruiting candidates like Kanye West and helping him get ballot access throughout the country, all in an attempt to shave off a few votes here and there. And, you know, a few votes here and there could end up costing us seats here in Minnesota. There's no doubt about it, which is why Paul Gazelka was so desperate that he was recruiting candidates from the Senate office building and the state capitol over the course of the last year to run as pot party candidates. And I think this is certainly a story that's not going away. There'll be plenty of complaints filed, and I look forward to having our day in court.
I want to encourage you, absolutely. We can't allow this, especially if laws were broken. We can't just shrug and say, let's bygones be bygones. If they did this and they broke the law, you're saying that you're going to encourage the DFL to continue through and push for charges, correct?
Well, absolutely. I mean, whether it comes from the DFL or others, we're highly supportive of any complaints coming forward at this point. It's the connections are so obvious. The evidence is so resounding, and frankly, you know, at this point, it would be malfeasance for anyone not to file a complaint, both campaign finance complaint as well as initiating a criminal investigation. And I think the Republican Party in this state screwed up big time, and they did all of this to try to win elections, but it's going to backfire, and it already has backfired in a big way.
Let's talk a little bit about the court ruling that happened. I mean, this is clearly the Republican path right now on the national level and in statewide, is to stop any ballots from being counted, including active duty military, Greatest Generation, anything that comes after Election Day. You know, they're separating them out. We've already seen the Supreme Court rule that some votes will not be counted. They won't matter after this. This is, you know, it's you know, incredibly sad to see a major political party in this country actively trying their hardest to get a ton of votes thrown out.
Well, let me just first start by saying that I think it's important for all of your listeners and everyone else in this state to realize that if you have not cast your ballot via mail yet and you are planning on it, please do not mail in your ballot. The best thing you can do at this point is to vote in person at one of the early vote locations or to actually show up on Election Day at your polling place and vote. Obviously, it's shameful. We pride ourselves in Minnesota for not only having high voter participation, highly engaged electorate, but we pride ourselves on civic participation. And that pride has been shared not only by the DFL, but by Republicans. And over the years, we've done everything we can to encourage people to participate in this process, in their democracy, to turn out and vote. And here you have now this modern Republican Party led by Jennifer Carnahan and others taking glee and celebrating the fact that thousands of Minnesotans now are going to be disenfranchised and not be able to vote. You know, and I think it's going to, we know it's already backfiring on them. First off, a ton of voters that would probably support Republicans, frankly, are going to be disenfranchised here. Think about this. 82% of military members who are serving overseas vote via mail. So all of those Minnesotans overseas right now who decided to cast their ballot yesterday via mail are not going to have their vote counted now. Seniors, many seniors who don't want to risk their own health by going and voting in person are now going to be disenfranchised if they didn't already cast their ballot. Think about people who live in greater Minnesota and particularly in mail ballot only precincts. If they haven't already put their mail, their vote in the mail, their vote is likely to not count. And these are all people that tend to support Republicans. And the reality is this is not a partisan issue. This is about our democracy. Democracy works best when more people participate. And the fact that you have a major party in this state, the Republican Party, taking glee in the fact that we're going to disenfranchise thousands of Minnesotans is shameful. It's shameful. It's wrong. And, you know, they own it. Because it's the DFL party that's actually trying to expand the right to vote, make sure that every eligible legal voter that wants to cast their ballot can do that and that their ballot counts. So look, we're just trying to inform everyone at this point. If you have not mailed your ballot in, do not at this point go in and vote in person early or on election day.
And I will say, as a veteran myself, when we mailed ballots overseas, you're mailing them worldwide. Sometimes the Postal Service works quick. Sometimes it doesn't. There are, you know, a lot of people are going to have being disenfranchised by the Republican Party. But once again, active duty military are going to have Republicans throw their ballots in the trash can because they just don't. They're so afraid of losing, and they're trying desperately to move the goalposts at this point. That for me, as a veteran, I am just wildly angry at the Republican Party for even trying that.
Well, you know, we the Republican Party talks all the time about the military and being patriots, right? And there is nothing more fundamental in this country than our right to vote. And it's now you have the Republican Party not even denying the fact that they brought this lawsuit to essentially take people out of the voting pool and trample on our most fundamental right, which is the right to vote. I am so disappointed on a number of levels. And not because, at the end of the day, this benefits Democrats, because there's already been 1.5 million early votes. By our own analysis, based on our modeling and data, 65% of those are Democrats. This ruling is not going to affect the DFL or the Democratic Party. As you said, it's likely that the Republicans were headed for a sure loss in this election. But what's sad to me is, as a citizen of this state and of this country and someone who cares deeply about our democracy, this is the ruling is sad for our democracy. It's really trampling on the rights of all Americans. And I just really think it's terrible.
Ken Martin, kind enough to join us, head of the DFL here in the state of Minnesota. Ken, of course, the next thing here is Election Day. The part two of the Republican plan is, an attempt, what seems to be an attempt at voter intimidation by sending poll watchers in specifically into Minneapolis to try to deter people. We need to approach this from two ways. One, the disgust of having the poll watchers, but the other side, if any Democrat feels as if this election is already won, they're a fool. Anyone who hasn't voted needs to vote in person on Election Day because, like you said, the Republicans are here to show up. This is the reason why they're sending in poll watchers trying to voter intimidate. The Republicans want to stifle voting in Democratic areas.
Well, look, they're going to pull out every stop they can to try to intimidate voters in the next 4 days, to try to, change the direction of this election, because they know that they're losing right now. And so the only thing that we can do to respond is to actually show up and vote. That's the way we win. That is our greatest power here. And, as I've said to you many times before, if polls were 100% accurate, we'd be having a different conversation right now about Hillary Clinton's re-election. The reality is that polls are a snapshot in time. We have to just, if we want change in this country and we want to elect Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Tina Smith, and other Democrats up and down the ballot, we have to be willing to work for it these next 4 days. We can't rest on our laurels. We can't ride the polar coaster and think that we're ahead. We have to run like we're 20 points behind, even if we are 20 points ahead. And if we run strong through the finish line, Matt, I believe that there's nothing the Republicans can throw at us at this point that that would allow them to win. But if we start to get complacent and we think we're going to win this, we will certainly allow them an opening to actually steal this election. So get out there and work. Don't take anything for granted. Work for your dreams. Work for your hopes. Work for the change that we desperately need in this country. And let's run as strong as we can all the way through 8 p.m. on election night.
Absolutely. And a DFL up and down the ballot. Let's get that Senate back. Let's get a bigger extension in the House. Then we can actually get some things done in the state to make Minnesota better. Ken Martin, the head of the DFL. Ken, I really appreciate it. I know you're very busy. Thanks for all the visits, and we'll hopefully talk next week maybe with some good news, okay?
That sounds great. Thanks for having me, Matt. Appreciate all you do.
My pleasure. Ken Martin, the head of the DFL here in the state of Minnesota. Let's take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. By the way, thank you very much, Todd Cole, sponsoring AM 950 all this week and into the election here. As he lives in Spain. He's having paella. He's drinking Spanish wines. Lucky duck. Anyway, because it's delicious. Oh, my God, is that food good over there. He wants to help out the station, so he is. So he's buying some ads. We appreciate that. 952-946-8885 if you'd like to find out how you can do that as well. Wants to remind you, first of all, still find out your options for voting. And once again, you just heard Ken Martin say this. Do not mail your absentee ballot at this point. I'll go through all the options once again here in just a moment. But do not mail your absentee ballot. You'll have to do something else. But you can find out what you can do by going to mnvotes.org. That's mnvotes.org. Also, I should mention he's keeping an eye on the U.S. Elections Project. Once again, if you missed it, and I'm going to get to some Matt's Math Corner here in just a second, 1,581,000 votes already turned in so far in Minnesota, over 85 million in the United States. Texas has actually, their early voting in Texas has exceeded their entire voter turnout for 2016, which tells you a lot there. And so that's why Texas is actually in play now for the DFL. Guess what, people? You show up. And it was always this way. It was never about convincing Republicans to switch to a Democrat. It was about the 110 million people who sat out. And I said, in the days after the election 2016, that 110 million people, you get basically 20-30% of those people out and vote. Well, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have a massive landslide. And then things are looking good, but don't take anything for granted. I should mention, okay, so Minneapolis elections and voting, I just retweeted this up at Matt McNeil Show on Twitter. They have, and their Sunday hours for drop-off are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. They got a nice little map, there too, showing you where exactly the absentee ballot drop-off zones are going to be at. Your three options when you look at what you can do here, as far as voting, and this is from Steve Simon, the Secretary of State himself, you can hand deliver until 3 p.m. on Tuesday. Once again, you can hand deliver your absentee ballot till 3 p.m. on Tuesday. Some municipalities are actually opening up voting for drop-offs of absentee ballots on Sunday. You'll have to find out from your local voting center there. mnvotes.org, once again, a great source. You can vote in person by absentee at a city or county until Monday as well. And you can vote at your polling place on Tuesday. And I do want to make sure I mention as well, similar to the early vote option, officials will check to make sure your mail-in ballot was not submitted and accepted, invalidate it, and give you a fresh ballot to cast. So if you vote in person, or if you're voting on Election Day, but you've already received an absentee ballot, you know, and you haven't mailed it in, you have to have it with you. They'll invalidate that ballot and get you a new one. All right? So it's not like everything is on this, for goodness sakes. Like I said, there is a reason why I'm not getting the most sleep. All right, Matt's Math Corner. Ken Martin just said a number there that I don't know if you caught that was really interesting. So it's 1580. All right, so 1,580,000 votes have already been cast in Minnesota. Reminder. Minnesota in 2016 was one of the best, if not the best, state in the nation for voter turnout. We had 75%, about 3 million, which means, if you do the math, 4 million is about the maximum amount of voters the state of Minnesota has. Ta-da! Isn't it great? Education. Love it. Anyway, so if you have this amount of votes already turned in, that would be half the votes that were made entirely in the state of Minnesota. And when it came to 2016, so if he said 65% of those are leaning Democrat, let's end up 0.65 equals. All righty. So basically it boils down to this, you know, 1 million of that 1,500,000, 1 million of it is Democratic votes, 500,000 are Republican votes. Now you say to yourself, wow, things can be great. Trust me when I say this. The numbers, and I've seen them, they are very legit. The numbers that you are looking at when it comes to what to expect on Election Day are the Republicans are going to show up in force and vote in person. Look, they go to the rallies, for goodness sakes. You think, you know, they're not going to care about face masks and social distancing. They're going to go and try to vote. And if it doesn't figure out, take a rocket scientist to figure out, if they have 65 or higher percent of in-person voting on Election Day and there's more than 1.5 million people that vote, they're going to win. So this is why, and once again, this is why the Republican Party is desperately trying to use Bob Kruhl and the Minneapolis Police Union to get, you know, poll watchers out at these polling places to try to stop people from voting in Minneapolis, is that they want to, you know, they want to basically, you know, try to stop. They want to scare voters away in Democratic areas because that's the only way they think they can win at this point. Union that represents Minneapolis police officers trying to recruit former cops is to work as poll challengers to work in problem areas at the request of the attorney connected to Donald Trump. The request came from an email from William Willingham, who was obtained by the Star Tribune. His email signature identified him as the senior legal advisor and director of Election Day operations for Trump campaign. Willingham emailed the president of the Minneapolis Police Federation, Bob Kruhl, on Wednesday to ask him to recruit 20 to 30 former officers for the task. Poll challengers do not stop people per se, but act as our eyes and ears in the field and call our hotline to document fraud. We don't necessarily want our poll challengers to look intimidating. They cannot carry a weapon in polls due to state laws. We just want people who won't be afraid to be in rough neighborhoods or intimidating situations. They're basically sending them into the black neighborhoods. Okay. They've got to try to intimidate voters in black neighborhoods. That's how they're going to win, is stopping the black and the Latino and the Native American vote, the Hmong vote, the Somali vote. That's what they're going to try to do. So Minnesota does not allow independent poll watchers in or near polling places. Each major party has appointed one challenger per precinct, and both parties have recruited thousands of volunteers for that duty. But what they can do is strictly limited. Suspicion is not basis for making a challenge. The challenger must personally know the specific person is not eligible to vote for a specific reason, according to the Secretary of State's website. Chief Arredondo responded to reports of the union soliciting by issuing a statement pledging that the city's officers would remain apolitical and protect citizens' right to vote without intimidation. I'm sorry, I don't believe it. I'm not going to buy it. So let's just say you have this, you know, a Republican there, police officer, who is basically looking at those black people and trying to cause problems. Let's just say that's the case. Let me just make a hypothetical, okay? The So the poll watcher, the poll workers, the people who are actually working the poll site, call the police and say, you know, you got a poll watcher here that's there. Ends up being a retired cop. You know, all of a sudden the cops are like, ah, you know what? We're not going to respond too quickly to that. And when we get there, we might not make him leave. That's what I'm concerned about. I'm very much concerned about what's going to happen here. And the reality is this is why I think that yesterday I said, I hope that Governor Walz calls out the National Guard, Minnesota National Guard, and if we get word that the Minneapolis police retirees are trying to do voter intimidation in the city of Minneapolis, you send in the National Guard to arrest them and drag them out by their freaking ankles. Because that should never be tolerated in a democratic society. And I guarantee you this, if Governor Walz said, you know what, police, I might have to do this, I guarantee you they'd probably, all these retirees would, I don't want to necessarily get into trouble here. I don't want to get a problem. Don't get me wrong. I think some of them would be there, but I honestly do feel as if there was that threat there that, you know what, since these are retired Minneapolis cops, we haven't had exactly the best police service in Minneapolis as it is. So what happens when all of a sudden that retired cop starts creating problems at a polling site? How quick are the police going to be there to respond? What are they going to do when they get there? Well, there's one way we can get around that. Have the National Guard show up and say, what are you doing here? Let's go. Let's move. You're done. That's you know, this is their end game. This is their end game. To throw out ballots, to basically try to scare away voters. And once again, that's the key now. The key for Republicans is going to be to try to stop people from voting on Election Day in Democratic areas and encourage people to vote in Republican areas. That's going to be it, because you just heard the numbers. They have to make up 500,000 ballots. If what the DFL's tracking is saying is true, they've got to make up 500,000 voters in the state of Minnesota. It's very reasonable. Most Republicans were planning on voting in person on Election Day. I'm going to repeat that you need to make the calls. Talk to your family. Talk to your friends. Talk to your coworkers. Talk to your neighbors. Ask them, have you voted? If they have questions, help them find the answers. MNVotes.org, that's a great place to go. And let them know there still are options for voting. You can vote in person absentee till Monday. You can drop off an absentee ballot by your absentee ballot. If you have one, you can drop it off by midday on Election Day. And then you can vote on Election Day in person. Those are your options. Make sure everyone goes and everyone votes. Republicans cannot overcome 60, 70, 80% of this population voting. They just cannot overcome that. This is why they do everything that they do. Because they have boiled this down to a science. They have, and as a group of people that hate science, they have made a science out of how do you have a political party whose ideas are not exactly appealing to most people. How do you get that to a point to where they stay in power? They do that by getting people to stay home, by disenfranchising voters, by making it difficult for minorities to vote, to making people jump through hurdles, by getting the Supreme Court to start throwing ballots out. And trust me, this is only the beginning of the Supreme Court. I guarantee you, if Trump gets trounced, that the Supreme Court will start hearing cases on how all absentee ballots should be thrown out and the only votes that should be counted were the in-person votes on Election Day. I have zero doubt. You want a revolution, that's going to, you know, I have a feeling that's going to do it. But this is where this is going, because they can't win on ideas. They can't win on platform. They have to win by cheating. They have to run 30 party candidates to try to peel away votes. They have to basically get votes thrown out from the active duty military and the Greatest Generation. They have to basically try to intimidate people that are trying to go vote. You should act like you wonder why for months now I have been harping on this, because for God's sake, we are only talking about democracy, because democracy will not survive another 4 years of Trump. My God, even if we get Biden in there and a Democratic Senate, you're still going to have to deal with a Supreme Court whose first and foremost goal is only what the Republican Party tells them to do. And this is because we didn't vote in 2010, we didn't vote in 2014, and we didn't vote in 2016. Every election matters. Everyone does. Let me give you a great one story here. I'll come back after the break in a second here and do the Minnesota coronavirus update. But there's a story here about farming out of Brazil. China imported 51% more soybeans from Brazil in September than in the same month last year. According to an October 25 release from the Chinese Customs, the agency said Brazil exported 7.25 million tons of soybeans in China in September, up from 4.79 million tons earlier in the year. China engaged in protracted trade war with the United States, imported 32% fewer U.S. soybeans, 1.17 million tons in September compared to the same month. Overall, China imported 9.8 million tons of soybeans in September, up from the previous months. China reduces its dependence on Brazilian soybeans in the last several months of the year and increases shipments from the United States, but this time around, they're not. They have dramatically increased the amount of soybeans they are getting from Brazil. Well, you know, when you look at those, the difference, how many farmers did we just put out of business? And those farmers were just put out of business. Why? Not because of Joe Biden or Barack Obama or liberal Nancy Pelosi or AOC or Ilhan Omar. They were put out of business because Trump, an absolute ignorant moron eating a tub of paste, decided he could do trade policy. Trade work, me smart. And he has destroyed our trade markets. Because I can tell you right now, if that pattern holds true, our ag sector is gone for years. Years. But how many of those farmers will still vote for Trump? Oi! All right. Well, we got food for thought this weekend, right? Food for thought. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break, come back. Coronavirus, and then also a little Halloween before we get to the music. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. More than 700 Minnesota hospital beds are now filled with COVID-19 patients, a reflection of the worsening pandemic that's caused 145,465 known infections, 2,437 deaths. The state total includes 18 deaths reported Friday by the Minnesota Department of Health, a new single-day high of 3,165 infections of the coronavirus, mainly due to idiots going out there saying, "I don't need to wear a mask, you morons." The updated total of 738 COVID-19 patients in Minnesota inpatient beds is a single-day high as well and includes 176 people in intensive care due to breathing problems, other complications. Minnesota's hospitals may be seeing more COVID-19 activity than in the spring. It's not going to get better. It's not going to get better. It's not going to get better. So, a few things for this weekend. First of all, reminder, if you still have an absentee ballot that you wanted to mail in, do not mail it in. Do not. It will be thrown out by the Republicans, along with all the ballots from active duty military and the Greatest Generation. They'll just chuck them out because they don't care. So here is what your options are. You can still vote. You can fill out your absentee ballot. Drop the ballot off at your county election office, other designated drop-off sites. Many places are having Sunday hours as well. You'll have to check, though, mnvotes.org, and then your local city will have more information. Check with your local city as well. Go to your county election office or an early vote center, cast a new ballot in person, or vote in person on election day. Similar to the early vote option, though, officials will check to make sure your mail-in ballot was not submitted and accepted, invalidate it, and give you a fresh ballot to cast. So you got to make sure of that, okay? And make sure everyone you know that has not voted yet shows up to vote on election day. For God's sakes, we cannot afford a massive blowout of Trump voters on Election Day. Everyone votes. Everyone votes. Call everyone. Halloween is tomorrow. Of course, there comes the obvious. Don't be a fool. Don't be dumb. Do not drink and drive. It's a Saturday night. I understand it. A lot of people are going to try to get together, maybe do a bonfire or something of that nature. Just be careful out there, all right? Drive safe. Watch out for the kids in the neighborhood. I think, you know, we are, a candy cannon. I don't know how I'm going to hand out candy tomorrow night. We're going to do something. We'll figure out something. But needless to say, be careful, all right? Everyone, I want you to be careful. And have fun and social distance and let's, you know, as this goes, this is one of those things which concerns me as, what the outcome could be in 2 weeks after Halloween, the amount of people that are getting sick. So take care. All right? All right. It's going to be a busy weekend. Yeah, I got inspired. You know, go ahead, play that. There you go. The little Joan Jett. Why not? This will take us on out today. You have a good weekend. Call everyone you know. Get them to vote. That's the most important thing on the planet right now. Vote. Either before the election, early, or on Election Day. We will be back for a very busy week next week. Till Monday. See ya. Midnight, getting up top, where are you? You said you